You're listening to, and we're sorry, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Jordan Spieth is en fuego right now. Tied him up. 11 under overall, 3 under on the day through 7 holes. So
3 under through 7 today.
Yep.
Moving day at the Open Championship. Royal St. George's. Did you ever go there? Sandwich, England, in your English experience?
I never did. I never actually even went to Ireland when I was there.
Oh, man. Got to go to Ireland.
I know. Mistake.
Volan's got a new Sunday Notes column out, which talks about QBs. We can get to that in a second.
But I did do Outward Bound in Wales, and I fell into the ocean.
Outward Bound.
So it was like this, it's like a team building exercise. So we went up for a week. My entire grade was like 15 people. So we went up there and we had to like stay in these like crappy tents in the middle of fields where there were all these like goats. It was very odd.
Well, it paid off for you. Your work ethic is outstanding.
Oh my God. I did one of those trust falls and I fell all the way to the ground because nobody caught me.
You did one of those trust funds is what you did.
So we're going to slide in 5 minutes of golf.
Oh, good call. 12:13 on the Andy Grish clock. It is Ken and Curtis. Joey Mack at 12:30. Joe McDonald. We'll talk Jaron Duran. No Jaron Duran last night. I wanted to see him. He was in the original lineup, the original Sox lineup.
Do they have a clock when he says 5 minutes of golf that it, like, no matter where they are in the discussion, it's like, oh, we got to go back to Beal?
I think so. I was trying to transition to Red Sox.
Okay,
talk.
Let's do
we
it.
Get a little Sox.
But yes.
Who cares?
No, who cares?
There it
about,
is again.
No, not about the Red Sox. I'm saying, like, just talk about it. It doesn't say 5 minutes. Who cares? Just mention it, and if it's entertaining.
I agree. You're the co-program
director. It is 9:10 a.m. on Thursday morning.
Can you coach Gresh up a little bit?
I don't have the power to.
Greg Hill back tomorrow, by the way. Not tomorrow. Monday. And Courtney Cox makes her debut Monday on our show, the Greg Hill Morning Show, starting at 6 a.m.
Yep. Big things are happening. I'm hearing we're getting a TikTok. I don't know how to do that.
Yep. But Courtney's going to start TikTok. She is the savior coming in. She's going to be good. It'll be a good blend. We're missing that little something-something on the show, and I think we'll be all better for it.
I'm thrilled to have Greg back. Missed him. The last, I think, 6 months he's been off.
What a week. We had Tangway Monday reading from Dr. Whatever his Paxil-Taxil.
The WebMD read.
His WebMD read.
Yep.
Then we had back-to-back days of Bradfo with Wiggy, which was an experience. Bradfo did a good job.
He did.
And then Muttman made his glorious return to the morning Thursday and Friday. Also did a good job.
It was great to see Mutt. Hadn't seen him in forever.
All right. So Red Sox, quickly. My trade proposal has gotten mild support.
Yep.
Most people want Anthony Rizzo of the two between Rizzo and Kimbrel. I say the package is the deal.
Are we doing this 2 minutes?
2 minutes on the Red Sox.
Okay, go.
Why you should get Anthony Rizzo. First of all, it's kismet, to use a Andy Gresh word. You drafted the guy in 2007, sixth-round pick. Traded him for Adrian Gonzalez. This is full circle if he comes back.
Is he a free agent at the conclusion of the season?
I believe he is, a rental.
And what is his? What has he done this year? Let me see. So
252.
Ooh, down year.
11 homers and 34 RBIs. Actually, last year he had a bad bubble year, too, or pandemic year. But you're getting him for the defense, the solid glove.
And you would hope that this would be the push for the free agent. You know, he's got a lot of incentive to play well down the stretch.
A lot of incentive.
To cash in. He's only 31 years old.
31, but, you know, that's like in baseball, that's critical time. You're past your prime a little bit. You're starting to decline. You want to win a few titles between now and 35.
He's turning 32 in August, so he'll be 32 entering free agency. So, yeah, I mean,
And he is a free agent at the end of the year, making $16.5 million this year.
So prorated, you're looking at, what, $8, $9 million bucks if you acquire him.
And Kimbrel has a year left of control. So if you wanted to add Kimbrel to the mix, you got a closer for the next 2 years.
Who is the Theo replacement in Chicago? Is there a Boston tie?
No idea. No idea what the replacement is. The bigger question is, what do you have to give up for it? So how many of your top prospects, or would Chaim Bloom be willing to trade to get him? Or you said Tanner Houck. So that's interesting. Didn't you say trade Houck?
No, I said that because you have Houck, you shouldn't make a trade for Kimbrel. Because in the event that Barnes sucks and this is all a mirage and...
Oh, you said Erod earlier. You would trade Erod.
Oh, totally.
He had a great night last night.
If you
night.
Could trade Erod for those two right now, I'd do it in a second.
But I think, I mean, if Erod's this Erod the rest of the way, he's your number two starter in the playoffs. It's Sale, Erod, Eovaldi. Maybe Eovaldi in the middle.
Okay.
And then you've got three good starters.
But do you win World Series if you have guys that can't get out of the fifth inning?
Well, I mean, he almost made the sixth. They could have pushed him. He had 93 pitches.
He almost made the six. All right, let's give him a parade. I mean, did he tear his MCL?
I mean, in a playoff. No, actually, that's today's baseball. You go 5-2/3 in a playoff game, that's fine.
Well, Himes got this whole, you know, he's got a hair across his ass for three times through the lineup. So maybe that's the problem.
But that's the point of getting Kimbrel. Then you have Ottavino for the 7th, Barnes for the 8th, Kimbrel for the 9th.
Well,
got Taylor for the lefty matchup.
I believe that Craig Kimbrel will not be a Red Sox because I don't think Chaim Bloom wants to sacrifice any worthwhile prospects for him to come here when it's a redundancy.
Yeah,
but
the owners do. But the owners might.
Well, that's a problem.
Why?
Chaim Bloom's here because we think we love what he's done so far. And
yeah, but it's checks and balances. Isn't that why you love America? The give and the take, the yin and the yang.
I love America
Democrats and Republicans.
Because I can work with you. And secondly, big number here. 70 games left for the Red Sox today. As of today, 70 games left.
Yep.
If they go 40-30 the rest of the way, they end up with 96 wins.
Whew.
I mean, Alex Cora's got to be manager
of the year. What a season. Yeah, I mean, San Francisco was predicted to win 70 games, so it's probably going to be the Giants manager.
But don't they win every 2 years anyway? But I mean,
Gabe Kapler. But
the Yankees are dead on July 17th.
Dead as a doornail. Maybe dead for several years.
I mean,
like they are in financial straits.
Weren't you expecting
fire
something?
The manager?
They got the leadoff guy on at the bottom of the first. The Sox didn't score, and you're like, okay, here comes some onslaught. Like this is gonna be a high scoring night. There's gonna be a big night of offense, and then just not a peep. Double play,
just dead.
And the stadium's dead.
Stanton getting booed.
The only action is when Stanton pops out or gets out.
Like tonight, I said this going into Thursday, you have a chance to big series because you can bury the Yankees and create chaos in that organization.
Yep.
If Cole gets lit up tonight, and they have lost 8 straight games to start the year, Yankee Stadium will be, what will it be? It'll just be a total meltdown.
I mean, doesn't it feel like that's going to happen tonight? That he's got all the pressure on him. The Yankees are without Judge. Stanton's a head case. Boone is like overdoing it with Lexapro pregame. It's going to be an ugly night in the Bronx.
Jed Hoyer, the GM in Chicago, not Theo.
Right. Yankees lose.
Did you say Theo?
No, I said Theo. Who replaced Theo?
Oh, yeah. Jed Hoyer.
So he's got connections to the Red Sox.
Yeah, he does. In fact, I think he was a part of the original Rizzo trade. Where was Hoyer then?
Would he have been with Charrington?
He might.
Or was it Dombrowski who made the trade? I don't remember. No, Adrian Gonzalez would have been Charrington.
Yeah, but I think Hoyer in San Diego? I think he made the trade for Rizzo with the Padres.
I think Hoyer's like a robot.
He might be. Anyway, 781 texter agrees with you. Get rid of Erod. I would trade him now. Simple-minded loser. Jeez, that's a little harsh. Now, Dakota and Braintree is on the line.
I think he's talking about me and then Erod.
Oh, okay, fine. Dakota sent some swing juice gear. And I appreciate that, Dakota. I've been wearing those hats. They're awesome. I've been rotating them every morning.
Are they comfortable?
Very comfortable.
You should try the foam ones. The foam ones are even super comfortable, especially if you're outside in the heat.
Dakota, yeah. I want to give you plenty of time, so hang on. But anybody else find this funny that Ken is like bought and sold by Swing Juice after he's been ripping Brady?
Hashtag ad. But I do it classy. It's subtle.
I just
wear it on the live stream.
Sledgehammer.
What?
But the dump that. Use the S word.
You said
bleep the bed.
That.
You can't say S word
can't
over
say
the
S
air.
The bed.
You can't?
What are you? Of course not. It's a swear.
Wait a minute.
I used to work in radio. And,
anyway.
You in that context, I think it's fine.
What? There is no context. That's fine.
Right,
the swing hats are terrible.
All right, I'm sorry about
that's
that.
Okay,
I thought that was acceptable. I'm just saying you can't. Erod is one of those guys where he is either going to be lights out, which you need come playoff time, or he's going to be below average, which you get him out of there, and then you're into the bullpen anyways. And you want a guy that that can go out there and just make people swing and miss and shut them down, and that's what Erod does. So. If you're going to win a World Series, you need Erod to step up and just be lights out come playoff time, which he has the capability of doing.
He has the capability of doing that over 5 innings. I mean, I don't think he has the has he ever thrown a complete game as a member of the Red Sox?
Yes, he has.
Okay.
I'm going to say that, and I'm going to check stats to back that up.
Why don't you go to John? I'll look it up.
He has never thrown a complete game.
Boom. Seamhead
no,
Curtis.
One. He has won. 2017.
Yeah, it was a 7-inning doubleheader. It doesn't count.
I think. I'm not sure. We'll look that up. But anyway, they're in good shape. This team is showing you they are ready.
Throwing no complete games.
He finished one game. Maybe.
Games finished. He's got one. He's never thrown a complete game.
They don't have. Oh, no, really? Yep. Oh, yeah, none. Okay, you're right. Seamhead Curtis.
Thank you.
But regardless, Well, you don't need that anymore. You need five innings. That's what you need. But what you but
so he's just going to trade for four different closers so they have all the innings lined up after
yes.
he pitches five?
Yes. Doesn't that seem like a Chaim Bloom thing to do?
I haven't. No, it doesn't seem like he would get redundancy with when he's trying to stockpile prospects in a barren farm system. I don't know why you would use that in a non-emergency situation.
Well, I mean, they do want to compete every year. That is the mantra. You're right about that. But I think if they don't make a move and they lose in the postseason, Bloom will start to take heat he's never felt before in this town. Maybe they're willing to withstand it. But if they go down to the White Sox or the Astros, aren't they sitting there now saying, how do I get better than Houston? How do I get better than the White Sox?
I think
the answer is Kimbrel and Rizzo.
I think Chaim Bloom is incredibly confident in what he's doing, and I don't think he's going to be swayed one way or the other. And with what thinking more about this Rizzo, isn't that more of a I don't know how much value he's going to have. You know, the Cubs probably want to relinquish his salary now, right? I mean, they're not going
they're talking
anywhere.
They're talking about extending him, but it's kind of a they might be just joking about that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they might be doing that just to
raise the value.
Right.
John in Gardner. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, fellas. How you doing today?
Good.
I wonder, too, Ken, about the price that they'd have to pay to get those guys. And I've always thought Rizzo, a good guy, good player, but a little bit overrated. Kimbrel makes me nervous. And by the way, to your point, I'm feeling a little nervous about Barnes because, to me, he showed a little bit of the shakiness before the break and then in the game itself. You know?
And, John, aren't you concerned about the contract extension so soon after the sticky tack stuff? I mean, that just it's like a just strange coincidence to me that he's like, oh, all of a sudden I'll take the sure thing.
Who?
Barnes.
Well, you know, it's hard to say with all of that stuff. But he looked good until the last, you know, he just made me a little nervous the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
The Brady stuff real quick, right? Chris, that's good grammar. How terrific a player is Kyrie in basketball?
Just on the court?
Yes.
Excellent. He's a great player.
Right. And we can't compare. Obviously, he's no comparison on championships and so forth, but he's an out-of-the-world player, much to my chagrin. And
I wouldn't compare him as, like, if we're going to talk a basketball player that we're going to compare to Brady on the floor, I would say LeBron is the really only one that you would compare that to.
No, I'm just making the point. The guy can be a terrific performer
right.
and still be an a-hole, and nobody likes him. That's not the case with Brady, but I'll say this real quick. I was in the camp that wanted him to stay and finish his career. I think on a number of levels, it's unfortunate that he wasn't able to stay, didn't stay with the Patriots and finish up. Having said that, and by the way, I saw the point too, when Bill was nuts with the guy, after a few years, he should have eased up to some degree, because if anybody ever said, why are you easing up on him? And he could have looked at him and said, hey, kid, that's Tom effing Brady. So, you know, we're going to treat him one way and you trying to make the team another. So he should have eased up on that stuff. But since he got hooked up with Guerrero, and since he left the Patriots even more so, he just comes across as like an elitist. And the other fellow mentioned it, marketing to the 1%. He's not mm-hmm. trying to help anybody, the little Joes out there with his product. Nobody could afford that. So and he's going to do a Subway commercial? How hypocritical is that?
What better cause, John, than the Best Buddies cause, which is phenomenal, supporting people that are otherwise treated incredibly poorly by society, giving them opportunities of employment? I mean, the guy's charitable, too. You can look into it. I know the Globe did. There's a big story about it by Bob Holler.
Remember Tangway's take on that? Again.
We believe that Frosted Flakes are actually is a food.
I know. Subway is very wholesome.
I mean, the Bill Belichick Subway. Foundation just bought him a new Nantucket home. I mean, I don't know what the hell he's even doing with it.
All right, little dive into Jaren Duran. Maybe that's the prospect. Could the Red Sox be showcasing Duran for a trade?
I like
the next 2 weeks, and then they go after Rizzo and Kimbrel, whoever, somebody like that.
Do you think big move, like whatever it is, you think there is the Red Sox make one of the big moves on the trade deadline?
Yeah, well,
or at the trade deadline,
not a big move. I think they'll make a Dombrowski-esque 2018 Steve Pierce like addition, something like that. But while Bloom was on with us and said he'd prefer to do something, right? Basically, he's hoping.
Well, that was the old John Henry Lucchino approach, was that you had to show an investment in a team at the deadline when they're showing you that they're investing in the current roster and playoff ready.
I agree. I think you have to. I think that's exactly right. Well said. First thing you said well all day.
Thank you.
Quick update on the open here. Then Joey McDonald, who had the news about Duran's call-up, now with the Worcester Telegram, and reporting on the Bruins, who they're going to protect on this list, which is out at 5 o'clock today. So a little Bruins talk.
And
well.
I just saw this. DeBrusque unfollowed Greg on Instagram.
Well, that was last week. I'm late on that. Let's get the trending.
Now back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
All right, Kenny Curtis with you until 1. And a little Red Sox-Bruins combo segment here, Curtis, with Joe McDonald, who's now with the Worcester Telegram. Great hockey reporter for many, many years. Now he's covering a little bit of hockey, a little bit of Sox baseball, AAA affiliate Woo Sox out there. I think he's at every Polar Park game.
Nice.
All over it. He was the first to report Jarren Duran was getting the call up this week. And Joey Mack joined us on the Harbor One hotline. What's up, Joe?
What's going on, boys? How are you?
We're pretty good.
Hey, Joe.
What'd you think of Duran out there, by the way? Did you get to interact with him much? Did you get to know his personality at all?
You know, it's the COVID guidelines and protocols. It was really difficult, guys. You know, normally we're allowed in the clubhouse and in the dugout and on the field, and that's where you really get to know these players, especially at the minor league levels, because there's not really a lot of media around. It's not like being at Fenway. But unfortunately, we really didn't get to interact too much. But in the last couple of weeks, we were able to, get face-to-face and have a couple of conversations and get to know him a little bit. So, he's an interesting player, interesting guy, no doubt.
What makes him interesting to you, and how about, like, his on-field promise with the team? What do you think he's going to be eventually with the Red Sox?
Well, let me start with this. So, Dustin Pedroia is in his own category, okay? Like, he was a special player, is a special guy. Like, he's in his own category. Now, I have covered every Red Sox prospect in this organization, elite prospect, in the last 20 years. No one is better than Jarren Duran. This kid is legit. He's a five-tool player, and I don't like to compare sports or athletes, but he has the mentality of a hockey player. He's got that mindset. He's got that compete level. His compete level is off the charts. I'll give you an example. During the alternate site back in April, you know how those alt site games go. It's like they start with 9 players in the field, but by the fourth inning, there's maybe like a second baseman and like a center fielder, and that's it. And these guys, they're going through the motions. Jarren Duran would hit a ground ball to second base with nobody there in an alt site, and he would run down the line, through the bag, and almost into the outfield. Every single time he's up to the plate and he hits a ball, he is all out. He's a special talent. And the one thing that he was able to do over the last year, especially during the winter, is he was able to transform his game, his body, his baseball IQ, and we're seeing that now. I don't think the Red Sox expected him to force them to bring him to Boston this soon. And this is his first year at AAA. So, yeah, I'm very impressed with this kid. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he hits the first pitch home run tonight at Yankee Stadium.
Just talking to Joey Mack. And, Joey, I have seen the coverage. I've watched a little bit of the pomp and circumstance of the opening of Polar Park in Worcester. What's it been like? How's it been received? Is Larry Lucchino actually well-liked in a part of Massachusetts again? What's been going on out there?
Yeah, he's well-liked in the heart of the Commonwealth, no doubt about it. I got to be honest, being a Rhode Island guy and growing up going to Paw Sox games and then covering the Paw Sox for, 15, 20 years, I was upset when the team relocated out of Rhode Island. It hurt Rhode Islanders. And when I was working for another media company at the time, I wrote a column saying, I would never step foot in Worcester. There's no way I'm going to go to a Woo Sox game. Well, now I'm their beat writer, and I'm at every single game at Polar Park. But they've done a really, really nice job in Worcester. The ballpark is awesome. It's a great place, to watch a game. And I'm being completely objective here. It is a great place to watch a game, great views. The standing room only areas are awesome. The train goes by a couple times during the game. The Worcester Wall, the place is packed every night now that it's at 100% capacity. And where the ballpark is in the Canal District, probably within 5 years, that area is going to be a great place to go and spend a day to go to a ballpark and hang around. And again, like if you had said to me, last year at this time, I would have been like, yeah, you're crazy. Worcester, really? Forget it. But they really have done a really nice job, and you guys should go and check it out. You know, it's a fun place to watch a game.
Definitely will, and you might get Chris Sale here in the next couple weeks too. So that'll be a must see rehab assignment if that comes to fruition. Let's talk.
I think it will. I think we'll see Chris Sale there. You know, probably after he makes the start in Portland.
Well, let's talk a little Bruins too. You had a scoop, Joey Mack, about Jake DeBrusque getting protected. That list has to come out today at 5. And how surprised are you that that's the intel you're getting, that DeBrusque's going to be back for another year? Or is that like a short-term thing and they still might trade him or move him some in some capacity to get something back for him?
Yeah, Kenny, I mean, that's a possibility. They are going to protect him. He will be on that protected list when it's announced later on today. And I'm not surprised that they're going to protect him. Like, look, did he struggle this past season? Yes. Is he a consistent player as they want him to be? No. But we've seen that when he's motivated, when he's consistent, he's an important part of this lineup. And at times when Bruce Cassidy can get him going, you know, he plays well. So I think it's important that, you know, maybe they keep him around. I know the big picture is maybe they protect him and then they trade him. But maybe by protecting him, maybe that sends a message from the organization to the player, saying, all right, no, we're not giving up on you. Look, he was part of that first round in 2015, and you know, did they handle that first round draft choices like they should have? No. But with DeBrusque, they really think that they could get more out of him. And look, he's a good player when he's going well. So they're going to protect him, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do moving forward. But, you know, come training camp, I expect Jake DeBrusque is going to be on the ice in Boston.
So who do you think will be unprotected then? Who does Seattle get in the expansion draft Wednesday?
Well, you know, since they're protecting DeBrusque, then you have to look at a guy like Richie. You know, he could be the odd guy out. I know people have been talking about Trent Frederick, but I know that the organization really likes his potential. So I don't think, you know, he'll be in the mix. But then defensively, you got to look at a guy like Connor Clifton. You know, if I had to put money on it, I would say maybe Cliffy is the guy that ends up in Seattle. So, you know, you have to give Don Sweeney credit because, you know, a lot of GMs, even though they knew that the expansion draft was approaching, meaning a few years ago, you know, they started to acquire certain players that they knew that, you know, they wouldn't have to protect. And John Moore is a perfect example of that. I think that's one of the reasons why Don Sweeney went out a few years ago and signed John Moore. So maybe Connor Clifton is a guy that they would like to keep. But, you know, given the fact that, you know, that they're loaded with a lot of defensive depth in this organization, then he could be the odd guy out. So, you know, should be interesting to see that list later on today.
Joey Mack, any news you've heard regarding Rask, if he had this, if he's had surgery to repair the torn labrum in his hip, and anything about how the Bruins are planning to attack the goaltender situation in the first half of next season?
Well, I know Tuukka has been kind of off the grid. You know, he probably returned home to Finland. He does that every summer with his family, so he's probably there. The original plan was to have him, for him to have the surgery probably at the end of July, and obviously we're in the middle of July here, so I'm sure he's in Finland, and when he comes home, he's going to have it done. And look, I think they bring him back, and why not? Look, you have Jeremy Swayman, you have Daniel Vladar. You're taking a chance by going with two rookies going into the season? Sure. But Swayman has proven that he can handle it. You know, I covered him in college. I covered him, you know, in Providence, and I've talked to enough people to know that he has the ability to handle the situation. And we saw the way that he played, you know, when he was given the opportunity last season. So, look, you go with Swayman to start the year, or you platoon him and Vladar, and then Tuukka is healthy. Maybe he's healthy come January, February. He's rested. He's healthy. And if they make the playoffs, maybe you go with, you know, with Tuukka. I mean, I honestly can see a scenario that if they re-sign Hall, they re-sign Rask, they re-sign Krejci, and they bring, you know, these younger guys up, give them an opportunity. I really can see a scenario where they are in the Stanley Cup final next spring, and Tuukka Rask could be the guy that leads them to that point. And, you know, crazier things have happened, but look, Tim Thomas had the same labrum surgery after the 2010 season, and look what he did in 2011. So who knows? But I think Don Sweeney's going to figure out a way to bring those three guys back.
Well, last one for you, Joey. There was some intel on Hall that they had agreed or come close on financial terms in terms of salary, maybe like $5.5 million, but he wanted a longer-term deal than they were willing to offer. Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yeah, he wants term, and that's the thing that I think Don Sweeney maybe kind of stays away from, not necessarily giving guys, I mean, look, he just gave Brandon Carlo 6 years, right? But for a guy who's aging, and even though, you know, Hall is only 28, 29 years old, you know, he's got a lot of minutes on that body. And I know that last summer there was a little bit of concern of how his body was going to hold up. And I think that's one of the reasons why they didn't sign him last summer. They wanted to see how he went through the season in Buffalo, and obviously they felt that he was healthy enough to make an impact, and he did when he got here in Boston. So Hall wants to stay. The Bruins want him to stay, especially if they're able to re-sign Krejci, and imagine Krejci and Hall as line mates for a full season. So I believe, Kenny, that deal is going to get done. It's just a matter of both sides obviously agreeing to the term, but I wouldn't be surprised if Don Sweeney and the Bruins are a little leery about giving him a long, long-term deal. Yep. Maybe they're probably looking at 2-3-year deal, contract-laden kind of deal. So who knows, but it's going to be interesting to see what Don Sweeney does here.
Good intel, Joey. We appreciate it, and keep up the good work. Good scoops this week on Durant and on DeBrusque.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, Joey Mack on the Harbor One Hotline, at Joey Mack Hockey on Twitter.
Underutilized member of the local media scene.
He's very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Knows his stuff on a lot of different sports. All right. Crossover next. Do you want Fitzy or Mego? Do we have a choice?
I you're the boss.
Are they in the building?
I don't know.
I haven't seen either of them yet.
Okay. Neither have been seen yet.
What a tease. You're gonna find out with us.
Either Fitzy or Mego, or both, on the way next.
More of the guys, Ken and Curtis, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
It'll be into the flood. That is Fitzy and Mego in one. This is Ken and Curtis on EEI. Change of pace today, Fitzy, on the program. I was hating on Brady. Curtis was defending him. We mixed it up a little bit today. Oh, there it is.
First of the day.
Of mixing it up. Is that a beer or a Pepsi?
Hair of the dog.
It's a Pepsi.
Damn, why would you call it theater of the mind, Ken?
Oh, Jesus, don't lie.
Good
be
Lord.
Be authentic. What are you, Brady?
Oh, here we go. Interesting. You know, Ken, this is amazing. You might be the only person capable of knocking me off of my spot and taking me away from being mad at Tom Brady for abandoning me, that son of a bitch.
What, you rallied to Brady's defense after my
I can't believe
latest?
There's nothing I love more than Tom Brady again. I am Team Brady.
So you think the MCL story is a legitimate story?
It doesn't matter. I heard what Ninkovich and, you know, what Bart Scott.
Here comes the hit job on Bart Scott. Immediately. It's an ad hominem attack on the people.
I don't know anyone who hates Boston sports more than Bart Scott and D'Angelo Williams.
Okay, what about Ninkovich?
Ninkovich, yeah, he's a bit of a Patriots mouthpiece as well. But what he was saying about, like, the idea, okay, sure. Is it like, you know, playing through? He told Mike Greenberg earlier in that same clip that I heard you guys play that it would be like Greeny hosting Get Up with a paper cut. It's insignificant. But at the
good
same
line,
time, it was an accurate line. And
Greeny,
by the way,
did not host with a paper cut. No shot.
Completely not. Get up this morning when we return. I think the fact that he was able to do that, regardless of how insignificant tough guys and hardos, linebackers, defensive edges may make the injury seem, he's 43. Like, Ken, I'm 47.
Right,
I'm excited when I get out of bed in under 30 seconds. Tom Brady played a whole friggin' season of football with Goliaths coming at him. While you're missing a knee ligament and you've been banged up for so long, and you've got Chase Young staring you down.
It was a partially torn MCL.
So we need to, Ken, put some more credit and respect back on that
Willis
name.
Reed.
Greatest of all time.
Unbelievable.
I'm just going to ignore Ken. So you know how the coverage, I don't know if you saw any of this, but I think it was NFL Network. The anger and outrage that this wasn't on injury reports because people would have gone after his legs. Do they not realize that they changed the rules because of his last knee injury?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was going to be diving at his legs either way. It's a penalty. So the notion they got this huge advantage because of that is idiotic.
You remember back in 2010, it was Deion Branch's return game, and the Ravens were in Foxborough. Great game, went to overtime. Pats win, spoiler alert. So Ray Lewis was up Brady's business and on him all game long. and he hit him late once. And he Brady stood up and pointed to his knee, and he got the flag. And I remember Ray Lewis, after that, he bitched a storm the whole game long, and then after the game talked about, like, man, they may as well just, like, put flags on him at this point now. Doesn't make any sense. Brady always gets the calls. Well, when you're part of the attraction, as we had witnessed during the basketball playoffs, like, how much fun is it to watch, like, the Kawhi-free Clippers? Or, like, two out of three stars off the Nets. Like, it's not fun to have
no
a
Anthony
villain.
Davis on the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you love your stars out there. But, Ken, every single time I see Brady do something further, you know what issues I had with him leaving town. I agree with you that he did kind of check out
further?
During 2019.
What did he do further?
It was won the friggin' nothing. Super Bowl.
We
even
know
though
that.
We both know he went to a loaded team. Okay. He went to a loaded team. But the fact that he was able to do what he did, making some of those passes, and by the way, sidebar, we don't spend enough time talking about, Tom Curran does spend a lot of time on this, the idea that Brady has taught himself, the way that he, the falling, teaching him, he sacks himself
right.
when he sees someone coming a million miles an hour.
The flopping, he flops away from.
All right, he's not he's, LeBron.
He should really change his approach. It hasn't
right.
worked.
Hasn't
for
worked
him.
The first 22
by the
years.
Way, I don't want to talk about Brady anymore. I want to talk about soccer for 30 seconds.
By the way, Curtis did the news with a canker sore 2 days this week. It was very impressive. It was awesome. You know, talk about overcoming the obstacles.
This is great.
Go ahead.
It was hurtful.
He does every takes on every day with 20% of a liver. I mean, the man's a hero.
20%, oh, I wish.
Put him on a billboard.
My liver is just on a billboard. this is your brain. This is your liver on booze. Right. But so, soccer. I know Volan gets under my skin for some reason. I don't get it. He's just annoying. But
he wakes up.
He tweeted last week ripping the penalty kicks in the Euro.
Right.
That is the greatest television that our non-major sports have to offer. The two countries, you got England in England. They haven't won anything ever in like 60 years. And you mm-hmm. got Italy, one of the best teams in the world. And right. they're just competing one man on one man with their countries riding on every shot. Like, I don't care if you like soccer. I'm not a huge soccer fan. If you don't watch that, you're not a sports fan. Like,
correct.
You can't be a sports fan and not enjoy those penalty kicks.
If you love like a nation, the fate of a nation, their people living and dying in the balance of this moment. If you watch sports, it's because of the drama, the entertainment, and the theater. How could you present any better drama, entertainment, and theater than coming down to PKs after two straight hours of nail-bitingly good soccer? Sorry, football.
Mm-hmm. And the other reason
spelled with an F and a U, Ken, which is usually aimed your way.
And the other reason
great,
they do it.
Great, great, great soccer. And the manager, make it like, if it works out, he's a genius. We don't need Ted Lasso. We've got this manager of England. Look at that. Like, the bold decision he makes at the 119-minute mark to take out two players and bring in these young, fresh legs to take the PKs, and then one misses a wide-open net and the other kid gets stopped easily. If it works, he's a genius. If it doesn't, he's a boob. Right. And now he's, as you like to say so often, now he's like the national goat. Like, I disagreed with the move, but then again, I'm just an American back home drinking 20 ounces of beer.
No, it was just absolutely captivating.
Love
the stakes are all that matters, and in that, it's just, I don't know. It shows that you are a small-minded simpleton if you're Volan and you say you don't like it.
Football? Wouldn't you rather, though, do you like the PKs or would you rather see it just go till?
They can't because the soccer's too much. Like, you can't just keep running up and down that field for 5 hours.
They were out of gas.
We're at the four-minute mark. Ian, whatever my name is here. Players are actually laying down at midfield.
Mad cow disease.
That man is actually napping by the goal.
Fitzy and Mega 1-4 today. Yep. Good job on OMF yesterday. What
Thank
are you and
Mega
tashing out today?
We're going to continue the Brady dialogue.
Oh,
Mega's got thoughts.
Oh.
She wants to propose possible trade options. Should we make a move for Dame Lillard? Because you know Mega has feelings about the Celtics. And in the third hour, Megan wants to read reviews for Space Jam 2 because she said they're the funniest things that she's ever heard. We'll talk some socks.
I heard a guy this morning nationally on one of the stations saying that he was outraged that people were ripping Space Jam with LeBron mm-hmm. because when we watched it, we were kids. Therefore, Jordan had the edge, and you shouldn't use this as, quote, anti-LeBron fuel.
Oh,
so there's a lot of people that are very butthurt about LeBron getting a hard time about Space Jam.
My buddy who's celebrating a birthday took his kids to the movies yesterday to see it, and he has never disliked any movie, and he said it was hands down, far and away, the worst thing that he has ever seen in his entire life. And he wanted, like, an existential
wow.
refund.
And he saw Mutt Merlone.
And,
oh. Good line.
Why?
Good job, Nick. Good job, Zeke.
Oh, by the way, quick aside. Yes. Was that the movie where Larry Bird isn't white, he's clear? Is that from Space Jam, or was that reused from another movie in Space Jam?
I don't recall that line.
I don't. It's been a while since I've seen it. Oh. I got to show my kids the original one first.
Okay.
Research that for Monday.
We'll okay, we're on that for Monday.
I like cartoons.
Hey, Greg's back, guys.
Greg's back.
The Nantucket corpse of Greg Hill back Monday.
Speaking of livers at 20%.
And Courtney Cox.
Courtney will be supporting him Monday. So,
Greg Hill Show 3.0 launches Monday.
That launches Monday. Hopefully. Fitzy and Mega launches next. Thank you, Fitz.
All right.
See you, Curtis.
Yeah. See you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.